Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Did not think you'd be listening to Thelonious Monk. Stuffy Turkey. Stuffy Turkey. Happy Thanksgiving. It's good to be with you guys here. I've got Zuckerman, I got Johnny Lieberman, and we've got a terrific show for you. We also have a member of the Porsche family. Ferdinand Porsche, well, otherwise known as Ferdy Porsche, will be joining us in a little bit, which is pretty exciting. That was just a last-minute booking by way of our Malibu car show. Hi, gentlemen. I'm fading you up right now. Good to be with you.
Hello, sir.
I mean, happy birthday, Zuckerman.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Do you want to talk about your age, or do you care about it at all?
I'm 57 years old. I feel like I'm 157 years old.
You look like you're 54.
Oh, thank you, Lieberman.
Yeah, that's good. Thank
you. What do you do on your birthday? Like, do you care? Because I got a call on the way over from our mutual friend, Moise, who said, I'd like to take Zuckerman out to dinner. We should take him out to dinner. And I said, that's just going to make him angry.
That's true. And I said to him already, I got work to do because I'm leaving to go to Thanksgiving. And frankly, I don't care about my birthday per se. All I like, give me some best wishes. Remember me on my birthday. There's nothing you can get me that I want. There's nothing you're going to buy that I want, Ferriston. Right?
You know, we have a pact. We have a little pact between the three of us friends here. Not you, Johnny, but you're welcome to be a part of it. No gifts for anything.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I love
just
that.
One more thing to throw away.
Yeah.
There's very few things I actually want.
I buy the things that I want.
Exactly.
I don't. And then with Jerry, I have a no birthday pact. No call. No anything. Just nothing.
Here's what
If you want to come into that club, that's also a great club.
That's fine. You can say happy birthday like I give a shit. Call my mother
and
thank
call.
Her.
I don't mind a call.
Well, say thank you.
Why nothing with Jerry?
He doesn't like it.
He doesn't want to stop.
He doesn't want to have to stop and fake.
Oh,
that's very nice of it all. And I'm with him on that. We both feel that. Because after the second or third phone call, then you're just listening to somebody bloviate.
So you're not on Facebook.
Where there's like
eight billion birthday wishes.
Yeah.
Not me.
And you do. You get, I got 875 last time.
Yeah.
And it gives me anxiety.
No, thank you.
Because I want to respond to a lot of them, and I do. But it's so overwhelming. And then I think people in general will do the after birthday thank you. Thank you so much for all the, even that seems old and overdone.
I hate that. Thank you. All the birthday wishes yesterday. Like, shut up. But what kills me is, like, you have a good year on Facebook where you get 800 wishes, and the next year the algorithm doesn't like you, so you only get, like, 300.
And then you kill yourself, and you hang yourself. Here's what I like for my birthday, and this is what I tell the family. We get breakfast together.
Ooh,
I want a simple and short meal.
That's good.
I don't want an overblown, over fancy, over heavy meal that's going to give me indigestion, GERD, poor sleep, agita, none of that stuff.
We're going to have every day of the year for you.
Yeah, and we're going to have breakfast together. And then the only other thing I request is get along and don't be contrary. I don't want to hear any contrariness around me on my birthday.
That's true.
Is that captain's hat shit? You can call it what you want, but that's...
No, that's not. I'm not even going to give you an okay boomer or zoomer on that one.
Yeah.
But It's an impossible ask.
I got it yesterday. Everyone was relatively well behaved yesterday.
Nice.
Well, there's your
And
present.
Even at breakfast, they almost ordered like they'd been to a restaurant before. Because that's my other pet peeve. I can't go to dinner with you people because you it's as if the menu has been handed to some primal tribe in the Amazon for the first time. Like somehow the Yanomamo walked out of the jungle. They were given menus. My wife can turn the menu 360 degrees over and over again. Like she doesn't know what she's looking at.
So one of my greatest pleasures in life is dining. I love going out to any meal.
I just
love it. But there are so many ways for other people to ruin, you know, the
restaurant
eating
pleasure. Yes.
And ordering's one of them. And like, yeah, it's like my wife does this thing where she can't decide ever. It's like, we've been to this freaking restaurant. She orders the same thing every single time.
You're getting to the universal thing.
But it's just
decisions, menu decisions.
But just
and I hesitate to even say this, but one of the genders, menu decisions are difficult for one of the genders.
No, I've seen men do the same thing. I've seen men.
No, I wouldn't tolerate it either. If I went to dinner with you and you started to stutter
to dither
and dither over your choice, I would say to the waiter, just put our food in and come back some other time for this guy.
I would never dither. Trust me. I know what we're having a month before we're having it.
But yeah, you'd be out. You'd be out so fast.
You know what my mother says? Because I'm going to the East Coast to see my mother. She'll call me in September and say, we're going to go to X restaurant. Why don't you go online and look at the menu? I said, why would I look at the menu? She says, well, how do you know you're going to like the place? Do they have food there, Mom? If they have food there, I'm going to be okay. I don't need to look at the menu on September 15th and give the ixnay to whatever you've got planned for, say, November 27th.
But Aren't you excited for this Thanksgiving show? We're just getting warmed up with whining and complaining.
Oh, yeah.
Today's episode, by the way, sponsored by Collecting Cars, Rubberama, Bird Dogs, and Bob's Watches. Let's just do an ad because I get a lot of ads to get through. Rubberama's a great company.
Rubberama.
Yo, that's a cooking company, but we can do Rubberama. You want to do
Rubberama
right now?
I never heard of Rubberama.
It's a
I
new
heard
sponsor.
Of Wonderama when I was a kid.
Here we are.
New sponsor.
I recently got my Rubberama. It's Rubberama. They rub. I got a really nice note. This is a company that bottles spices and rubs for meat.
Oh,
you see?
I bought three different things yesterday.
You should not have.
Ugh.
And as happens, you get a box before you know about the ad, and it came, and it's filled with great stuff.
Rubs for meat.
They anticipated that you might say all of this stuff, Zuckerman. We know Zuckerman is going to get cheeky, and that's fine. But it's founded by two ladies in my hometown, not in my hometown, in my home state, Deb and Rama. And they wrote this really nice note. And of course, Erica saw that note and said, who is this?
Oh, yeah.
And then took out the Rubberama spicers, and that's it. Because what you probably don't know about me is I grill a lot. I'm grilling like two or three times a week for the kids and for the family. And I usually use these Lowry's marinades, but I've been feeling a little trapped. Well, guess what?
I bought at Lowry's yesterday.
I've been using Rubberama Original. Rubberama, the Jack's Way. Savory and spice that has 14 ingredients. Slightly sweet and savory, which is Jack's blend. These are designed as dry rubs, and they're great for everything. Recipes, veggies, cocktails, and more. Clean out the spice rack because Rubberama is all you need. Used on the safety label on the shakers. What does that mean?
Huh?
All you need. Used on the safety label on the shakers. A little goes a long way. That's true. I can attend, and pleasantly addictive. It gives your meats, your chicken, your steaks, your Bloody Marys, your margaritas. Come on, man. Chocolate chip cookies with spices. These girls have nailed it.
So what you don't know about me is...
Yes?
What? I just got into making pot roasts in a big way. I do like a weekly roast, and I had this wonderful spice rub. I don't know where I got it, so I've been like buying everything in the grocery store every week trying to find something decent. So I'm excited.
A Jew making pot roast. Never heard of that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's delicious.
Wow.
So just know it's not just a bunch of salt and a couple other herbs and spices. They've really thought about this stuff, and it's awesome, and I've used it. You want to go to Rubberama, Rub-A-Rama. That's don't you don't want to know Deb and Rama what Zuckerman just did. Rubber Rama forward slash spike. Will you behave? This is a vanity site. Rubberama, and your deal is sitting there. You're going to get 15% off and free shipping. 15% off and free shipping by using the coupon code SPIKE on any order of $50. One use per customer. Free shipping to the U.S. addresses only. Bring it back to just how amazing it is on the grill and in the smoker. Rubberama. Hi, Deb. Hi, Rama. Nice to meet you, ladies. And thank you for sending this stuff. Yesterday, I think a big part of our show, we could talk about yesterday's Malibu Cars and Coffee.
The good guys won.
Well, not that so much as, they haven't been shutting it down anymore, and people seem to be able to come in whenever they want, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. It's just the lots are open the way they're open. But we had folks from Lucid there. Yeah. We had folks from Rivian. We had Lotus there.
Lotus.
Debuting
with the Lotus.
With the Amira. We were going to have the Mission R.
Yeah.
But someone crashed that, I heard.
I heard it got crashed on Thursday. They were doing they were letting journalists drive it. Or I don't know if it was journalists. They were letting somebody drive it on the Porsche Experience Center track, and it got
that's where it was.
Up.
It wasn't at Willow, because I heard they were up at Willow.
Could have been Willow. I just heard it got crashed, and I knew people were supposed to drive it at the Porsche Experience.
Okay, I want to ask all the listeners. We want to know who crashed it. That's what I want to know.
I could find out. I'll find out. Find out.
I thought you might already know.
I didn't even ask.
The Mission R is that electric concept.
The electric Cayman, yeah.
The electric Cayman.
Super racy.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were so excited, because I guess Matt Farah had arranged for it to be in Malibu, and then
Magnus was going to have it. Everyone was going to have it, and then some boob crashed.
And the crazy part is, I heard it was limited to 100 miles an hour. So, like, how do you crash a car going that slow on a track? I don't know, but be interesting to see what actually happened.
Although it
could have malfunctioned too. Could have had a blown tire.
It's just one of the many malfunctions, because earlier in the week I had been there with Mr. Seinfeld. We had driven up on a Thursday and took pictures of us in the Matt Farah birthday shirt. And moments after leaving, our friend Bill from the Malibu Kitchen fell on some boxes and broke his hip. And he ended up in the hospital. So for this big Sunday car show, which he was organizing everything.
He was out of commission.
He was out of commission and now has a new hip in his body.
He broke an axle.
How's he doing?
Carol, what do you think? He broke his hip. He had surgery. Yeah, well, he's doing like shit.
I have to tell you, that's not my assessment, Zuckerman. He seems very happy.
Oh, well, I wonder why. What are they giving him? Dilaudid? Fentanyl? He's seeing little deers and bunny rabbits skittering along the ceiling of the acute physical therapy location.
And Judith told me that he did really well. The operation was a huge success, and they're very hopeful in his recovery. You and I thought that could be curtains for the guy, right? But Bill...
It's never a good thing.
Bill is... probably happy on drugs, but happy and sends his love to all. And we were sending him pictures from the show, and he was delighted that everyone showed up. Really a big turnout. Johnny, you were there in the new GT3, right?
Just sitting right behind you. Yes, right. I was. I went to Farah's Collecting Cars Bluey's thingy first and then popped over. And you saved me a spot, which is always nice. Mm-hmm. And it was great. A lot of good reaction. I think having the Lotus there was awesome.
Let's talk about that, because that's a new model, right?
Really?
I had not had a chance to see it.
Yeah, so I actually went down on Saturday and sat with Gavin, who's like the head engineer, and I'm blanking on his name. I'm having dinner with them after the show, actually. The head designer, and we just talked all about the new car, and it's really cool. I thought it was just like a reskinned Evora, but it's not. The central tub is new. The subframes are new. The only carryover thing is the Toyota engine, and I think the transmission, but there's also an optional AMG motor, so it'll be a 415 horsepower four-cylinder with a dual clutch. It'll be like 120 pounds lighter, about the same power. I forget exactly what that thing makes, but if you want a V6, you can get a V6. If you want a turbo four, you get a turbo four. Stick, automatic, or dual clutch. They lost the back seat, so
they found the room.
Yeah, they made it
because
much
when
more
you,
spacious.
Yeah, when you
inside.
Sit down in this, and I did sit down in it,
yeah,
it feels completely different in the cockpit in that there's room for stuff.
Yeah.
There's a screen.
Yes.
We're just off a very nice screen. There's a little place to put your iPhone, finally.
Yes.
So it doesn't bounce around the cabin as you're carving up canyons. But it feels, you know, again, I did not drive it, but it made me want to drive it when I sat in it, right?
Yeah, it really does feel like a Cayman competitor from the inside for once.
Right, right.
You know? So it's cool. Yeah, and I think it's actually, this is a problem. You can make cars so curvy these days that when you take a picture of them, they flatten out and they don't look like anything online. This thing is gorgeous. It's like a mini Ferrari, the way they figured out the air intakes on the sides, and the front is all crazy aero. It's a really cool thing. But what I liked is they brought it and they just parked it like a normal car. They remember when had all the stanchions, mm-hmm. and they took up 15 spots and they had security and no one could look at it. This was just they were part of the crew. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and they brought a bunch of Lotuses with them, right? There was an Esprit there. What else? There were a couple of...
Three Evora GTs.
The Evora GT press fleet was there.
And then a Noble, which has nothing to do with Lotus, but a Noble showed up, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, that's their...
M600.
That thing. And they brought a bunch of their team. Like, I saw at least, six or seven guys in Lotus white shirts and shook a bunch of hands and heard about that, heard about the Radford car. It was good.
It's a big deal out there. It's really
And people were very interested. And then Jay showed up and, you know, he
brought down the house with the orange Mura.
He did. But when he hopped into the Lotus, you know, they snapped all their pictures and you go.
Yeah.
It's a big day.
It was great.
A big day. It was a big, fun car show day.
It was great.
I left that just going, I cannot believe how much fun that was. You and I sitting down. And you saw me post about it, right? This is the moment I decided to get rid of my Land Rover and get a Rivian. And I was not joking, because he said, I can put two racks on a Rivian for you right now. Do you want the car, the truck, in 2 weeks? And I said, yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I know everybody's going to say that I'm spoiled what I'm about to say, but... Land Rover reached out to me because the LA Auto Show was just now, and everybody comes into town and they all reach out and pitch and, okay, can we be on the show? And a lot of times I say no, just because I'd prefer to just hang out with you guys or do what Lotus did. It's bring the cars out, let us see them, and then let us talk about them rather than letting you prattle on. And Land Rover brought it up, and I wrote back one word to them. You know, hey, we want to book our executives on the show. And I said, rack. And they went, what? I said, you know... Here you are asking me for a favor, but I don't have my rack.
Right.
I even tried to pay for it, and I couldn't get it.
Right.
I don't understand. I thought I've been a dutiful, you know, ambassador for you. I have the old Land Rover. I have the new one. I'm very excited about your brand, and I truly like it. But, you know, then you talk to these Rivian guys, and you see what they're up to, and you've got a battery, and I'm into that whole thing, as you know. And, you know, I see there took a little look at the Lucid software. I haven't seen the Rivian yet. And then it's got a little electric stove there and two racks.
Yeah.
And
you can put two tents. I mean, it's amazing what they do
two
with that
tents.
Truck. Yeah, two tents.
Can you imagine that
sleep
pick?
The whole family.
So perhaps... Land Rover, you know, they did call and they said, you know, they acknowledged that they had made a grave error.
After 10 months?
But I still, but here we are
it's
now 2 weeks.
Longer than 10 months, by the way.
Here we are 2 weeks later and I have not heard word one, and I sense they just don't quite care.
They don't give a fuck.
About little Spike, and that's fine.
Rivian cares?
Rivian, by the way, I
don't think they care either, actually, but they've got stuff I need.
Hang on. They care. I got a lot of we had a little powwow. So we had Derek Jenkins, the head designer of Lucid.
Right.
Spike was there. Jay Leno was there. We had Shaheen from Rivian. I forget his last name.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was there, my friend Sean. And it was Rivian afterwards was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Because he connected with you and with Jay.
Right.
Huge
right.
moment for
And
a
he
brand
gave two pitches. And you know what it reminded me of? Because both guys were so lovely. And Jay was like, you guys are probably, you know, going to try to rip each other apart as competitors. And they go, no, we don't look at it that way. The electric car business is still relatively small, and we all pick each other up, which is something I've heard a lot. And I said to Jay after they turned away, I go, it's like these new late night hosts who all like each other, right, Jay? It's not like the war you were in. You got Fallon, you got Kim. They're all friends, Colbert. Right. They're buddies.
What did he say? What did he say?
He laughed. Oh. He goes, yeah, that's what they say, but we'll see what happens.
They're not quite competitors, right? Because Lucid wants to be like a Mercedes-Benz competitor, and Rivian wants to compete with Ford.
Right.
You know, that's
But there's so much marketplace yet to happen. Yeah. But if you don't want an electric car, you need to go to collectingcars.com. They've got some good stuff. Zuckerman, you're going to be interested in this, all right? I haven't read this ad yet, but look what's on the front page of it. A wonderfully original BMW 2002 Turbo.
Lovely.
Lovely car. Let me see what details. A highly original and impressive condition and showing just 38,000 kilometers. Great opportunity for collectors who love original cars with patina, but which have also been mechanically and very well maintained. Will be handed over to the next owner, freshly serviced. It's on the site right now. Also live for bids, 993 Turbo. You know the best smell, the 993, with only 6,234 miles on
I think the listener on that might be our friends out at Checkered Flag in Marina Del Rey. I seem to recall seeing
Ocean
that
Ocean Blue Metallic?
Yep, that's the one.
Incredible Time Warp 993 C4S that sold for a world record price at one point. Collected Cars offered a stunning 993. Oh, I see what they're saying. Last week they had a 4S. This week they've got the 993 Turbo with just 6,000 miles from new, specified from the factory in rare Ocean Blue Metallic, which I believe is a boxer color.
And
right, the Boxster,
you know,
the very first Boxsters came in Ocean Blue Metallic.
And my 993 X package is in Ocean Blue Metallic.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I thought that was Midnight Blue.
Nope. Ocean Blue Metallic.
Wow, an amazing modern super classic car, so check that out. Let's see what else they have. Oh, they're also having a Cars and Coffee at Bluey's. I went.
It was great.
It was cool.
They did call
me for that, but they didn't call. They called me Saturday night, and it was, you know, I was in the middle of managing Bill and everything else.
I went. I showed up for Spike
Car
Radio.
Yeah, I thought so.
It was great.
It looked
great.
Amazing, and it sounded good.
Really good cars. Really good time. Really good breakfast burritos.
This was the latest in a series of coffee run events they've had around the world. Collecting Cars team is having its first official U.S. event, and that was this weekend, coinciding with Radwood. They're just awesome, man. They had 100 cars, they said?
At least 100. Yeah, it was packed. It was great. And it was really a high caliber. And not just like, yeah, it's fancy. It was just like oh, that's a cool car. Like somebody brought like a built IROC Z Camaro.
That's Matt Farah's
cool
brother-in-law?
Yeah, something like that. Some in-law. Yeah.
And Collecting Cars.
Yeah, Matt's working with Collecting Cars now, but it was Bluey's is the spot that Matt's, I think, brother-in-law owns or something.
So collectingcars.com. Why sell your car anywhere else? No ordinary auction, no ordinary cars. All right. We've got a lava orange GT3. Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
We have spoken about the GT3 before. Do you have anything new to report about
it? I have
it?
So much new to say about the
really?
GT3. Yeah.
Because we were joking about it out at Bill's. Because people kept going, is it good?
Yeah.
And we were going, no, it's horrible.
So what I did
morning. Then the conversation becomes about percentage. What percentage better is it? Is it 8 or is it 14?
I kept saying 11. I'm like, it's 11.2%. But
yes. But what is actually better about this GT3?
Okay, so what I did today before I got here was my friend Misha has a 991.2 GT3 touring with a manual. This is a 992 with a manual. It's got a wing. And we went back-to-back up Angeles Crest, and we were actually shocked by how much more capable, how much more performance there was in the new one, it's next level. It's like, how did they do it? It's not 11% better. It's like, you know, 20, 30, 40% more capable. It's shocking. I'll get a couple examples. You know, 911s, obviously they always have a light front end, meaning as you're going fast, when you want to start turning the wheel, you got to like get on the brakes a little bit just to like put some weight on the nose so then you can turn. And this one, you don't have to. It's got so much front grip that you actually don't even have to get on the brakes. You can just whip around corners, you know, even without lifting. The mechanical grip is way up. The steering is way sharper. His car actually, it felt like it had like, you know, like 5 turns lock to lock by comparison. And it was just, you know, it was shocking me because when I wrote the review, I went on the launch of the 991.2 GT3. I went back and looked at what I wrote about the 991.1. And in that review, I was like, I don't know how they're ever going to make it better. And then I drove the next one. And I'm like, well, let me quote a paragraph saying, I don't know how they're going to make it better. They made it better. And I went around for 2 years saying that's the best car ever made. Just a 991.2 with a manual. You could not buy a better car. This is better.
Impressions here, looking at this thing as I'm sitting here staring at it, this is the best looking 992 that I've seen.
Without question. Look at those hips. Look at those rear hips.
This works. This size 911 works in a GT3. The wing, which seemed somehow so preposterously large in press photographs, is not.
No, it's nice.
It's nice. It works. It looks cool. The whole car looks fantastic to me, and the new GT wheels are terrific to look at.
Yeah, those are great. And you know, it's funny.
What about the lava orange? Still one of the most mysterious colors that looks great in photographs and not so great
I like
in the
it.
Sun and better in the shade.
This
it's
apparently
all right.
this
it
is,
just doesn't
this,
wow you.
This is like the color where dealers can't move it. If one of these shows up, it can't be sold.
Yeah, because you see it in real life and it doesn't look.
It doesn't know what it is. That's the problem. Right. Now, I heard that a friend of ours just sold a white GT3 manual with a wing, and it went for
70 over.
90 over.
90 over.
So this one, 195 as it sits. Very few options, but they're very expensive options. $10,000 brakes.
Yeah, but did you hear what he just said? 90 over sticker.
Yeah, so I'm saying at 195 with no options, this could be a $300,000 car.
But then I know someone who just got offered one at 25 over, which sounds more reasonable.
Yes, and that's and I offered for that car 20 over. I was laughed at, and I said, good, laugh all you want. I will keep my money. That makes me very happy. Makes me happy to be laughed at. I keep the money, you keep the car. That's a perfect deal.
But real quick, one more thing, just based on what Zuckerman
said. No, it was 70. You're right. He has 50. I said no. It went for 70.
Yeah. What Zuckerman said about how it looks better, you know, the wheels went up 1 inch, at least in the rear. They're 21s. Because everyone forgets that the 991 is only an inch shorter than the 992. The 992 didn't get much bigger. It got wider a little bit, but it didn't get any longer, just 1 inch. And so I think on these larger wheels, this big body sits better. It just looks so good.
What are you doing with it?
I am writing a review.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, that's why
you have it.
I'm playing around. I've had it. This is like the second week I've had it. I had it, and then I went to Italy, and I came back, and it had a check engine light, and they were going to fix it, and the check engine light is still there. So
who's breaking?
It seems to be fine.
America's press cars is what I want to know. Who's
he broke
them?
The mission or?
I wish.
Let's do another ad.
Yeah.
Bird dog shorts, bird dog pants, bird dog joggers with built-in underwear. Are the most comfortable shorts, pants, joggers ever. I finally got my shorts.
And
I put them on. They're great. I can't take them off.
You like the built-in underwears?
Yeah.
Really?
I do. It made life easy, you know, because I'm always in a rush, and I just reached in, and I was out in the court, and then I was like, what am I? I didn't even know what I was wearing, and then I realized, these are these new Bird Dog shorts, and they were fantastic. They really are good and enjoyable and soft.
I'm in love with the pants.
And I like pockets because I'm always hitting tennis balls, so I need a place to put my tennis balls. The built-in underwear is insanely comfortable. I can attest to that. It's like angel wings beating on your balls, Zuckerman.
Your tennis balls, which are
angel wings beating on your balls. They're perfect for doing literally anything. Beach, brunch, golf, pool, working out. They stole Lululemon's designer and are just doing it better. I always like when a company does that, right?
Steal?
Yeah, take the guy who makes one thing work and take him over to their joint, right? The Tesla guys going over to Lucid.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
makes Lucid
the
great.
Engineer. Yeah, Rivian's full of ex-Tesla
people. There you go.
Yeah.
It says we can talk about whatever the hell we want. Really? Bird dogs? It says talk about... Look at that. I've never seen that in an ad.
Wow, Zuckerman's off mic.
Zuckerman's off mic.
Zuckerman. Rush back.
It said we can talk about whatever the hell we want.
How many blue chews could you fit in the little hidden zipper pockets? huh? I want a number.
Well, you know, my son, my little guy, hates underwear. And when he heard about bird dogs, he was like, see, I don't have to change. I can just wear bird dogs. And he was right, little James.
Dogs.
Yeah. Go to birddogs.com, enter promo code SPIKE911. They're going to throw in a free Bird Dogs whistle tip football. Remember, those Nerf Vortex Howler footballs that you whistle when you throw them, it's perfect for Thanksgiving. The footballs, you can literally throw a mile. Yep, that's the one must have for this football season. You can get one for free at birddogs.com, promo code SPIKE911, and boom, free Bird Dogs whistle tip. Does the football come with underwear, or is it an underwear-less football?
I'm going to say it comes with underwear.
It comes with your pair of Bird Dogs. You will not take these things off, I promise you. shorts. I'd go with the shorts. You like the long pants, but I like the shorts.
I got a pair of pants from there. I got two. I got one with the underwear, one without. I like the one without. And I just, they are the best pants. I got to get more. Tell Bird Dog, if you're listening, send me more of those pants.
They will.
All right, I need more pants.
The listeners have to go to the sites. They have to activate at least some sort of engagement. They do, you know, and that's what makes it work. So
Johnny,
you want to go
pants.
To Rubberama. You want to go to Bird Dog's.
Next weekend.
You want to go to Collecting Cars and then and Bob's Watches, who we'll do their ad in a minute, our new guys. I thought because it was Thanksgiving, it was on the internet reading about Thanksgiving, and it really does get a bad rap for its association, like, with tense family conversations. And this writer was like, I'm going to give you 50 ways and conversation starters to promote thoughtful discussions at your Thanksgiving dinner and help you learn more about your family on Thanksgiving.
Exactly what you don't want. Thoughtful conversations to learn more. Really?
Some of these might be geared towards parents and grandparents, siblings and cousins, but they are universal and they will work better than what are you most thankful for. And I want to prove to the author of this article on the Huffington Post that none of this is going to work. Right. And I've got the perfect curmudgeon.
There he is.
So I'm going to try. Like, this Zuckerman is pretty much who you think of as the person who would cause a problem at your Thanksgiving dinner.
Questions right. To get through.
No, they're worried when he sits down, but let me try these questions
on. Learn about me? do you really want to learn about me?
He's a miscreant. He's angry. Let me try these questions on you, Zuckerman. You see if they work, all right?
Yeah, come on, learn about me, Ferris. I want to educate you about me.
This is how it would work. So we're all at a family dinner Thanksgiving. There's a little lull. And I say, so how did you meet your first significant other, Zuckerman?
I was stupid a girlfriend. What do you think? I mean, do you really want to know an answer?
That's what the Huffington Post's first question is. Will work.
Yeah, Tinder, Grindr. I mean, come on. We don't want to know how you met.
All right.
We wish you did.
Can I pause? Thank you for saying that. I hate everyone you meet. How'd you meet?
That's not an interesting question.
How am I supposed to keep? And I have 35 of the 50 questions. I think it was 75 questions. Where the hell am I supposed to keep these questions at the head of the table?
Your best pocket.
Am I hanging them off my visor? Do I have a cue card? Do I have somebody rolling?
How boring would you be as an individual to have to resort to this and ask that question?
I'm not even done. I only asked one, and you're already losing it. Okay, so here we go. What did you do, Zuckerman, for Thanksgiving when you were a kid?
My mother got nervous 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, and then it got up to a crescendo on the morning of Thanksgiving where she was almost hysterical with anxiety. My father, Grumpy Harvey, was outside smoking at the thought of anyone coming into the house and having to talk to anybody. The dining room, which was only used for special occasions, was extra hot.
Oh, yeah.
So
you could become
nice and uncomfortable in there.
And everybody was drunk.
No, we're Jewish
family.
We're Jewish
family.
Ferris,
no one, you want to be drunk.
No. Okay, that's for the Irish.
Yeah.
The Irish are drunks because they drink because they're drunks. The Jews
eat
need
because
to
you
drink.
Can't drink.
Yes, I wish they would drink.
Yeah.
Question number 17, what was your earliest memory? This is going to help you have a better Thanksgiving Day dinner. What was your earliest memory, Zuckerman?
Can you describe my face? My mother yelling.
Exactly.
My mother yelling at my sister is my earliest memory.
Yes.
Boy, why is this person trying to bring me down?
Do you know what my earliest memory is? Me eating a box of turned Raisin Bran full of worms and insects, and then my mom giving me syrup of Ipecac to make me puke all day. And then the doctor calling going, oh, you didn't have to do that. You would have been fine.
I think my second memory was putting Red Hots up my nose that wouldn't come out. These questions are so dumb.
This is how you have a better Thanksgiving. I mean, we would have a better Thanksgiving if I asked these questions and you guys were my guests.
I
don't see these questions working. I don't think they're working.
Come on, give me another one. This is making me.
Johnny? What?
I mean, Zuckerman. Just going back to the Jewish nature of it all. Did you ever have a normal holiday meal? It was like war. It was nothing.
Discomfort. And when I got to be a teenager,
nothing was worse.
The minute the meal was over, I would call up my friend Bobby Bestesi, and then we'd go to the strip bar. on Jericho Turnpike, and that's when Thanksgiving really began.
Here's a good one. Question 11. What would you do if you won the lottery, Zuckerman?
I wouldn't be talking to you. Well, you'd never see me again. I would just put the ticket. The winning ticket would go into Tupperware. I would tear off all of my miserable poor guy clothes, and I would just drive away in a limousine. You'd never see me again.
And that would be it, right?
That would be it.
You my would whole not, new life. For Thanksgiving, you would not be at that table if you won the lottery. Yes. Yeah. You would be gone.
I wouldn't be helping poor people. I wouldn't be helping infirm people. And I wouldn't be talking to you, motherfucker. That would be...
We should roll in some nice Thanksgiving music right there for that. That's delightful. Well, there it is. That was only what? Three or four
that was
questions?
Four. Yeah.
If somebody had these questions would end, would you just get it out of the house? Just leave.
Do you know how depressing it is to have a list of questions to keep a conversation afloat?
Because what we're acknowledging here is this is a forced holiday, Ferriston. People are forced to be together. So in a very unnatural and uncomfortable state.
Right, right.
This is why everyone's miserable traveling around Thanksgiving.
Yes.
They're being forced to do things they don't want to do.
But I want to just go back to, like, my wife loves holidays. Nothing makes her happier than, like, going and looking at her mother for 72 hours. That, like, makes
right.
her so... And I hate holidays. Like I like Halloween. Halloween's fine.
Yeah. But, Halloween is the non-denominational holiday for all rejects. That's their favorite holiday.
Yeah. But, like nothing was worse than, like Passover dinner. You know, or
horrible.
Like, or Yom Kippur break the like. Nothing was more stressful. Everything you do is wrong. You get yelled at constantly. Dad fights with grandma the whole time. You know, like you're not good enough for my daughter. It's horrible.
Because we come from an environment where nothing is okay.
Right.
Where I grew up in my household, nothing was okay.
Right. Yeah.
Got 8 minutes of Hanukkah coming. There you go. Ferdy. Porsche is going to be on. I kept, you know, it's funny. He came here. I kept hearing there's an event for Ferdy Porsche. I couldn't quite figure out who this guy was. And then I learned that he's the young 20-something grandson, I think, of Ferdinand Porsche.
I think he's great-grandson.
I think he's the grandson.
The math doesn't work.
It does, actually.
Well, yes, if his father had him when he was 80.
Well, we'll ask this question. And I, you know, I did a little Googling. I found grandson.
I thought Ferdy Porsche was born around 1917.
But how lucky do you have to be to wake up and realize your name is Ferdinand Porsche? Holy moly.
That's a pretty good name.
That's a pretty damn good name.
What if it was Lapo?
Now word from Bob's Watches. Bob's Watches. Bob'sWatches.com, our new sponsor. Very excited to have them on board. Welcome, Bob's Watches. Not only have I bought watches from Bob's, Rolexes, vintage, as a matter of fact, I've sold watches through Bob's. In fact, I can think of a couple watches that I bought from Bob's that I then gave back to Bob, and Bob made me money. How'd you like to have that deal? Bob's is having a Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale. That's right, Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale. You're going to get $100 off some watches, $200, as much as $400 off some of their watches. Bob's is the most trusted way to buy or sell a pre-owned luxury watch. They've been around since 2010. They have a giant inventory. In fact, Wall Street Journal said one of the largest watch trading sites in existence with over 100,000 satisfied customers. Visit the site at bobswatches.com or search Bob's Watches Rolex. You're going to see a ton of cool stuff. I just got a nice loaner from them. It's on the way. You're going to see it on my Instagram. I'm very excited about it. They may even lend Zuckerman a watch, but I wouldn't, Bob. I wouldn't go that far. Bob's is the only true third-party certified authentic sell with certifications available from the Watch CSA. Bob specializes in Rolex. 100% guaranteed authenticity, 100% online, overnight shipping, overnight delivery, sorry, free shipping, satisfaction guarantee. You can go to bobswatches.com/spike for $100 off your first, but like I said, Cyber Monday and Black Friday, as much as $400 off the watches, depending on which watch you're buying. Go to bobswatches.com. Get a cool Rolex. I think they have Omegas. I think I've seen Tudor.
They have great stuff, and they're right here in sunny California. Bob's Watches. And just know, before I was a customer of any other sites, I was a customer of Bob's, and I bought a beautiful vintage GMT from them that I love.
Well, you were telling a great story about your Batman the other day.
Oh yeah,
was that from Bob's?
No, that was from a Rolex dealer in Beverly Hills.
Tell the story. I think if you're into watches, this is a good watch story. Rolex story.
This has to be the moment before anybody knew that watches like that were going to be impossible to buy. And I just happened to be on a Tuesday afternoon walking by Bruce Meyer's place, Geary's, a licensed Rolex dealer, and there was that blue-black Batman GMT. Didn't even know what it was. Didn't know it was coming out. Wasn't following watches that closely. And I said, "What is that?" She told me about it. I said, "Let me try it on." I go, "Boy, I think I want to buy this." And she goes, "Okay, you should buy it now." And I said, "It's kind of weird to buy a watch like this on a Tuesday just walking around. Let me think about it. Can you put it behind the counter and hold it for me?"
Right.
Right? Not an unreasonable request at that time, I thought. And the lady said, "Oh, no. No, no, no. You have to buy this now or someone else is going to walk in and buy it." And I went, "Oh, sure." Right? Sure. Yes. Sales pitch. You're going to push me. Hard sell. And in that moment, a guy walked right in and stood right next to me and goes, "Is he buying that? Because if he doesn't want it, I'll take it." Yeah. No lie. And I said, "Give me the goddamn watch."
Give me the watch. Right. Because you know she had a button under the counter that was like, send him in.
If she did, then kudos to her. Yeah. But no, when I look back at that moment, that was the beginning of this watch Rolex craziness. And, you know, this impossible, we're going to drip these through and maybe there'll be one there. And now we're at a point. Who was it? Was it you that was telling us they don't even have the real watches in the window anymore?
Yeah. I was
really? They have phonies?
They have phony balonies.
It's the cases, but they don't even have the cases anymore. I was in the Rome airport, which is a great little Rolex store there, and they had like five or six watches. That was it. The whole store. It was crazy, you know? And then, yeah, so it's just, you can't get Rolexes.
Let's bring on Ferdy Porsche. He's walking in right now. There he is, Ferdy Porsche.
Hi guys.
Hello.
How are you? Hello.
Nice. What do you do? We have one big question, and forgive us for asking an obvious question, but are you the grandson of Ferdinand Porsche or the great grandson?
Depends who you're talking of.
Well, we're talking
the guy that founded Porsche is my grandpa.
Yeah, Ferdinand Porsche.
No. But that was the guy who did the Ferry.
And that's
okay.
Oh wait, hold on. Yeah. Okay.
So you're the great grandson of Dr. Porsche,
Dr. Engineer.
They were also both doctors. I don't know.
Now, in 1875, Ferdinand Porsche on September 3rd, I believe, was born. But that's
so
not
that's
your.
That's my great grandpa.
That's your great grandpa. There you go.
I fucking told you. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I said the math didn't work out.
You did.
What's your father's name?
Wolfgang.
Of course. That's what I told you.
This is What's Thanksgiving. We're having a Thanksgiving Day meal.
Harvey. Harvey. We can trade. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When did you become aware of the significance of your family? How old were you?
That was probably in high school, I think.
Wait, not when you were seven and everyone was treating you like a little prince?
People weren't treating me like a little prince. It's still Germany, you know. People are very... like low-key and
mm-hmm.
No, they actually treated me quite normally.
But your name is on a car, a whole company. That didn't occur to you that this is a big deal?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I was always into cars, but I assumed other people have cars with their name on.
Really? Just the Fords.
Just the Fords,
but
yeah.
So what is that moment in high school? Was there a moment where you just went, oh, this is good?
Or holy shit, this is a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, that came later, I think. Yeah. I mean, people somehow maybe assumed that I was like a genius in math or physics or whatnot. And I wasn't really. I was just a normal kid.
But you're an architect.
I am an architect.
So you must be pretty good at math and some kind of physics. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to learn all that stuff, but it doesn't come too naturally to me.
I got
But let me just try to get this question. Do you remember the moment he's talking about? Like you said in high school, that was when it suddenly dawned on you. Was there a moment? Do you remember, like, was it a girl or was it a...
I wish it was a girl. It wasn't.
Yeah, it probably wasn't a girl.
It was a teacher making a stupid joke.
What's the joke? What do you mean?
I think the joke was, you know, when in Germany, when you do something, or probably everywhere, when you do something stupid in school and you get like a paper sent to your parents, and that's called Verweis in German. And so Verweis is VW, if you have the short version. And so he made a stupid joke about that.
And he said
that I would get one even before I turned 18, something like
that. And were you embarrassed by that, or was it
maybe
cool?
Maybe a bit, yeah, because in school, you know, you want to be like everyone else, or at least when I was young,
not
that
seen.
That was the goal.
Yes. And,
right.
So it was a bit weird, but yeah, it has its advantages as well.
Well, it's nice to meet you, and thanks for what. First of all, what are you doing here? Why are you here? It's nice that you came to this show, but why are you are you here for the LA Auto Show? Were you here from some sort of Porsche event?
I sort of am, yes, but I try to combine it with the little holidays. I mean, America just opened up again, and the weather is nicer here, and it is the center of, I don't know, car culture, or at least it felt to me that way in the last 5 days.
No, it is. It is, yeah.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. And it was a lot of fun. We did a lot of car stuff and took my girlfriend to Malibu.
Yeah, yeah. We saw you out there. We met you out there. We were talking about it earlier in the show.
A Myers Manx, a pink Myers Manx.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I just sold my Myers Manx.
Really?
Yeah, we have a lot in common.
But
I'm going to tell you, his grandfather founded a car company. My grandfather spent his whole life in automotive career.
Doing?
He was a cab driver.
You have nothing in common, Zucker. But I thought I saw you in a Taycan.
No,
that wasn't
that
you.
That was me, but I drive a Taycan at home.
You do?
I love it.
You
yeah.
do. So are you, you know, Johnny brought it up a second ago. You're an architect. You're 26, yeah. right?
Eight.
28, you're an architect, but do you also work for Porsche, the company?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't. I am a big car enthusiast, and I founded this event in Austria, or actually I brought it back because they had the ice race, or it's an ice race. Yeah, GP yeah. ice race. Yeah.
And that's the event that's coming up, right? It's called
the end of January.
Okay.
And we did that the first time in 2019.
And tell everybody what that is. If they don't
it's
know.
A car race on ice, and they tow skiers, and they had it back in the back.
Yes,
yeah, it is fun.
We would see 356s doing that in Sweden and other places. In fact, Spike, you of course were instrumental in Jerry getting the Swedish ice racer, the 59
right.
Carrera GT,
yes.
which I think also towed some people. It's a little bit dangerous, wouldn't you say?
It is dangerous. I tried it this time because in 2021, obviously we had a Corona version of it, so we had no spectators and we just prepared the ice. And so for the first time, I actually found some time to like drive myself and got towed by a 953.
What's that called? There's a great special. German word for
skiering.
What is it?
Skiering.
Skiering.
But I think it's actually Scandinavian. I think it's Swedish
oh, is it?
Or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is pretty great. So Wolfgang Porsche was there. How many years have you done this?
2 years with spectators, and then we had this year without. And so 2022 will be the third edition.
It'll be the third. And is it all manufacturers, or is it just Porsche?
It is open to everybody. So the idea behind it was to sort of have a festival feel to it and sort of celebrate car culture and to make it like approachable for people who like cars, people who don't like cars, and just have a like sort of good time.
Is there a speed limit?
There is no speed limit, but there is a certain limit where you can...
there
is a limit, but there is not a speed limit, yeah.
Look at the pictures are stunning. It is so beautifully...
What time when is it this year?
January.
It's January.
January.
So
January what?
Last weekend of January, 28th to 30th.
Okay, and if I want to go, if I can get Porsche to give me a car with studded tires, I just show up, or is there a process?
You sort of have to you have to text us first, send us
text
the car,
right.
And then we'll, not me maybe, but you send us an email with your car, and we have six different classes, so actually everything you need is bike tires, because there will be a class for
what
you.
What are the different classes? What's the range of class?
The range, so the oldest car we had was an Alfa from 32, and it goes up until a modern Formula E car. And so
I don't mind driving. I wouldn't want to be towed.
You feel bad about that 356 ice race?
It makes
now?
Me sick.
This
it's,
is for
it's
the first
very,
time.
It's very painful.
Don't you still have the tires for it?
I have.
I
the
was
tires.
Telling him you still had the tires.
That's
in your
how
hangar.
It all started. Actually, my dad bought a 550, and it still had the spike tire. That because the car actually raced in Salamsee on the lake at the old ice race. And that's like how I found out that
holy existed, shit,
because it was gone since 73.
And you're not talking about a, say, 550 Ferrari, you?
No, I'm not talking about something out of Maranello.
No.
So do you have the old cars out there racing?
It has the prancing horse on it. Huh?
Do you have those old cars racing out there? 550s and 350s?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow.
So people bring their 550s and then it's, I don't know, minus 20 degrees Celsius.
It is.
And
it seems
they
like,
just leave it out in the open for, during like the night, go for a beer and just...
It seems like a James Bond scene of some kind, like just something not even
from the real world. Service.
Yeah, just like some
specifically
scene in a movie in a James Bond episode.
Yeah.
And they just leave their $3 to $5 million 550s parked outside in the freezing cold.
Swiggins.
Well, why wouldn't you? And then let's go get a pint of lager. And then tomorrow when I'm hungover, I'll break somebody's body.
Yeah, I mean,
has anyone really been hurt badly?
It's sort of not yet.
We hope.
Luckily, there was no one.
He's a personal injury lawyer, so you want to be careful.
It's only a matter of time.
Yes,
but it is super cool that actually people bring their crazy cars to race it and to race them in the ice, like during a time of the year where they normally, especially in Europe, they're tucked away in the garage, and like they bring it out to race and to like enjoy the thing that brings them there.
And who's the person they drag generally? The wife? How do you find a dragger?
There are a few husband and wife teams, actually. Yeah, I think two or three.
So the wife driving and the husband dragging.
Obviously.
Yes. Yeah. Why obviously? That's a lot of female skiers. Lighter in the back. I don't know. I think that might be the way to do it.
But there was like one of them. You had the first year. You had like an Olympic skier that was being towed or something.
Yeah, and we had Axel Svindal, for example.
That's
like,
right. Yeah,
I think he was two times gold medalist.
Could and we
I was
use that
just right after him? Like it was this year, and I semi tore my tendon in my bicep.
This is
dangerous.
Of course, it is.
Paul's very excited suddenly.
Yeah,
can
I know.
We use this Sport Quattro, this '84 Sport Quattro that your maybe great uncle or grand uncle built?
Oh hell yeah, you could.
Yes,
there are a few of those.
Yes. Oh really?
There are. Wow. I think we had two or three of those.
Wow.
Yes. Like the S1 and like the proper. I think Walter Röhrl was even driving that.
Of course he was.
Really?
Yeah. And he was chased by a Red Bull NASCAR. It was cool. And you know, Red Bull had like red flames painted onto the car, and it was like
really fantastic.
Yeah, it's not bad. Now, when you're an architect, what are you doing? Are you designing homes, or are they Porsche branded homes? What are you doing as an architect?
I mean, the thing closest to cars is a garage for a private collector we build outside of Vienna at the moment, and the smallest thing is a bar, which is super cool inside of Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
And different stuff, a private house next to Copenhagen. So I started studying architecture, moved to Vienna. It was sort of my thing, I don't know. And I felt like I had to do my own thing as well and not only do the car stuff. And then the car stuff sort of got me again with ice racing.
Right, right.
Yeah. And
so where do you see yourself going? You think you're going to jump in?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, no.
Exactly. Let me one of these Thanksgiving questions.
That's right. Let me be more direct. Do you see yourself jumping into the family business?
You're not allowed to be in the family business, are you?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
Don't you remember that his grand uncle and his some
somebody's Piak well
and somebody else there was a fight between.
I think that's over now.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is over now. Yeah,
yeah.
But
I feel like I still want to do my own thing. And if at one point it like sort of matches,
yeah, let him answer the question. It sounded like
he's right. He's right. There was a lot of fighting in my family. Obviously,
right,
but
right.
A long time ago.
But it sounds like you're warming up to the car business, and I would imagine. You know, when you have that just sitting there, right? You start thinking about, well, maybe I should design cars.
Yeah, I don't know. I like architecture. Like, if it comes to designing cars, I prefer architecture, I must say, because it, like, product design is always about, like, centimeters.
Right,
millimeters,
right.
And I'm like, I like it when it starts with meters and when it just has a bigger scale. I'm not so good with like.
Let me ask you
just one. Like for instance,
would you buy it?
Well, I don't know about me, but the guy, the EB110, like you know, Gandini did a design, and you know, Bugatti didn't like it, or whoever was running Bugatti, and Gandini wouldn't change it. So the architect of the factory stepped in and finished the EB110, and it's fantastic. Only car he ever
did.
Such a cool period. Car. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it.
We want you to take over the company. Yeah, Fernie. That's what we're getting at. Do you see where we're going?
Okay. And then we figure allocations.
We can shape you. You're young.
We give you shit.
Yeah, we get stuff.
We get the allocation.
Yes. Let me ask you. You know, we don't have a lot of time.
I'm bribeable.
Let me ask you some of the really important questions. Do you get whatever you want from Porsche?
Yes. No, I don't.
You don't?
Bullshit. No, I don't.
Bullshit. Come on.
No, I don't. I have to pay for my cars.
You do?
Yes.
But you get
the
discount.
You get the allocation. You don't have to wait online like me.
I get the allocation. Yes, I do.
That's good.
That's great.
What are some other perks of being a Porsche?
Yeah.
What else do you get?
I don't know.
You get stupid questions like that.
No, but we're like,
which is amazing.
We're looking through the window. We have an idea of what it must be like to be you.
We want to be a Porsche family member.
Yes. We want to have a whole.
We were born in swamps. Yeah.
He's a skink. Can't you tell? He's a relative of a skink.
Yes. I'm not supposed to be here. You are. We're looking through the window of the restaurant. You're dining on caviar.
You guys are living in L.A. I live in boring old Europe.
Yeah, that is true.
You guys are living there. Are you still in Vienna?
Yeah, I live in Vienna. But it's a cool place, actually.
No, it's not so boring.
If folks want to come to your event, are there tickets or do they just show up?
Yeah, there are tickets.
There are tickets.
Yeah.
And where do they find those?
GPIceRace.com. You find the
what
tickets.
What is it?
GPIceRace.com.
Let's go with the Ferris ticket.
There you go.
I hate to call, but I come for this.
I've been talking to Porsche about maybe just getting something and putting on studded tires and showing up. So late
January. That would be fun.
Yeah.
You should.
We'll hang out with the cool kids.
If you wanted to drive a 550, if you want to drive anything, is that something available to you?
I mean, my dad has a 550, so... He would probably lend it to me, but not like if I would tell him I would want to go on a like trip to, I don't know, Italy or France.
But could you call the factory museum and say, I want to drive a 917, I want to drive a 9, wait. No. Doesn't work that way.
No. Did your dad have a bunch of cool cars growing up?
There's a thing called compliance.
Well, how old do you have to be?
I know compliance.
When you get your driver's license when you were growing up.
When did I get it?
What age?
When I was 17.
17.
Yeah, it was the earliest possible.
And what kind of cars were in your dad's garage at that point?
So the car I was learning to drive was a Beetle.
There you go.
Very appropriate, yeah.
In green.
That's what I taught my son on, right?
Yeah, it's a cool car to learn it. And actually, my mom taught me to drive.
Right.
Which
she did.
Because I was annoying my parents, like, really early on. Guys, I want to drive.
See? Mm-hmm. It's there.
And then,
it's there, Zuckerman. I know what's going to happen here.
Yep.
When we interview him and he's 38, it's going to be a different interview. He's going to be
over the
slim-waisted, a nice suit, and he's going to give us the company line. It'll be too late to get him into our fold and to use him as a spy.
Were those not the company lines?
Huh?
Were those not the
No, you're still young. You're not shaped by the corporate quietness. We were hoping to get you into our little fold here so you could get us information from our favorite brand.
What do you know about the GT1? No, just kidding.
Anyway,
beep.
Yep.
Bertie, it's a pleasure to meet you, man.
It's a pleasure.
It's really fun. Your event is amazing. It's really an exciting, beautiful thing. The photography and the films I've seen are just over the top. I mean,
and nothing else
the
really
brightness,
like it.
Yeah.
You know, because I've done a lot of ice driving, like up in Aureoplog and stuff like that. But I don't know, the light's different. There's 4 minutes of sunlight.
Yeah.
And the cars are all modern. And this is just so cool to see all the old metal.
Yeah, it's great.
Being hooned around, like, it was awesome.
Yeah, whenever you're in town, you got to stop by.
We will.
And keep your eyes open and your ears open. You know, if you're talking to family members or, you know, anybody from the factory,
good dirt,
you hear about STs or 911Rs or any sort of new stuff coming down the line.
Send Uncle Spikey a note.
Yeah, send me a little note. Check in with me. Say hi on Instagram. It'll be good. That's our show for today. Ferdy Porsche is here. Happy birthday, Zuckerman.
Thank you. We wish you
all the best. Thank you for these
Happy birthday, man.
4 years of entertainment. Johnny, your beard looks clean for once. God bless. Maybe it'll turn white for Christmas soon.
Yeah.
And you guys have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow, and we will see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.